So thank you. I'm the outset, I have to say I'm very happy to be here, for the possibility to be here, and it's a very stimulating place, and yes, thank you for the for all. Today I'm going to talk about external and internal relation in Wittgenstein's early philosophy, in the notebooks and in the Tractatus, terminology or this terminological distinction is older or stems from the so-called controversy over monism between Moore and Russell on one side and the British neo-Hegelianism or British neo-idealism on the other side. So here is the outline of my talk. First, I will define what exactly internal and external relations are, how internal and external relations were defined by the respective philosophers. Then I will recapitulate on the Tractarian ontology. That's something very basic. I thought there will be students present or who are not acquainted with the Tractatus, all of you, it will be only a recapitulation. Then I will present three arguments that are basically to be found in Tractatus for the doctrine of external relation. For the doctrine of external relation, it will be it's the view that all relations are external. So then I come to conclusion. So let's start by definition. There are a lot of definitions by every philosopher I mentioned at the outset, and they are different. So Russell defines internal relation if it falls within the nature of the related terms. Moore has a slightly different definition of an internal relation. A relation is internal if it makes difference to its terms. So if they were not related, they would be different. Francis Bradley, the most important neo-Hegelian or neo-idealist, defines an internal relation if it passes into the being of its terms, so that affects its essences. And finally, Wittgenstein's definition is to be found in the Tractatus. A relation is something is internal if it is unthinkable that its terms should not possess it. It's disputable if there is a common ground among this definition, and I suspect all these authors that they didn't care. A relation is external otherwise if it's not internal. I am going to use in my talk now the following definition, which is close to the definition by Wittgenstein or by Moore. Relation is internal if and only if from the fact that the term would be different or is not related to the relation follows that it's another term. So if A is internal to some its term A, then if some other term is not related by this relation, then it is a different, it's something different. So that's the same as we said, that it's unthinkable that the term A is not related to this relation. What was a typical example of such a internal relation. The neo-Hegelians or the neo-idealists use the relation between an organic body or within an organism. It's a typical definition of a living organism, which goes back to Kant. All parts of a living organism are what they are because of they are related to a whole. Our hand has its identity only if it's a part of a human body. I offer another example, which was suggested by Maya. Let's talk about whole-to-part relation. If something is a part of a bigger whole, then the relation to the part, from the whole to the part, or to some of its parts, is an internal one. If a whole would not have some of its parts, it would be another whole. As an example, a stamp collection. If some stamps were removed from this collection, it would be another collection. So it's a typical example, either the organic relation or the whole to part relation. Now I wanted to remind you to the Tractarian terminology. There is nothing substantial. I only wanted to say that language or the world consists of facts, which consist of states of affairs, or simple facts, which consist of objects. On the other side, language consists of proposition, which are elementary propositions, or which are result of truth operation on elementary proposition, which consists of or are concatenations of names. That's something very basic. So now to the to my arguments or arguments which I want to present here. First argument which is to be found in Moore's Principia Ethica and then later in Wittgenstein's Tractatus, is that the part that the internal relations are unintelligible. If the part to whole relation were internal, it would be unintelligible. I remind you the example which I gave before was the whole to part, the opposite relation, the whole to part relation, which was a clearly internal one. But now the opposite one relation, part to whole relation. So the relation in an organic whole, a relation that our hand is a what it is only because it's connected to our living body. Moore's argument is the following. Suppose an organic whole W, which has different parts, P1, P2, and so on, which are internally related to this whole. Now Moore argues that parts of such whole cannot be named if they were in isolation. Moore's argument is not in the abstract way. He imagines what happens if a hand were cut out of the body. Then it would be a living hand anymore. If we try to assign a name to a part of an or internal part of a whole, then this name would be the name of the whole. It cannot be a name of this part only, because the part is what it is only in virtue of its internal relation or internal connection to the whole. So Moore concludes that the whole situation is self-contradictory, that we cannot speak of internal parts of a whole. This argument can now be it can be generalized on every internal relation. The result is that all internal relations are unintelligible. Now, first point is, it's nothing controversial. It's all the thinkers I've mentioned so far would agree with this conclusion. But consequences, or what they took from this argument, are completely different. Russell and Moore argue that if internal relations, or if internal relations are unintelligible, then all relations are external. That's the doctrine of external relations, as they were, as we can found it in Russell and Moore. Such a position can be put in other words, that it's a extreme pluralism or extreme atomism. But there are other ways how to cope with or how to face this this conclusion. Francis Bradley, implication of this result is that internal relations are unreal in the sense that they are not wholly true. They are only partially true. That if we try to express an internal relation, it would be not, or the statement would be not wholly true, but only partially true. For Bradley, are external relations unreal or unintelligible as well? The conclusion is that there are no relation, which is there is only one object, one organic, one whole. Yes, that's a ontological monism. I am not going to present here the Bradley's argument against external relations. Now to the conclusion Wittgenstein took from this argument. Wittgenstein's conclusion is, internal relations cannot be asserted in propositions. Now, where we can find this argument in the Tractatus? And now, everything I said so far is uncontroversial, but now it's going to be maybe a little bit controversial or interesting. So Wittgenstein writes, instead of the complex sign ARB says that A stands to B in the relation R, we ought to put that A stands to B in a certain relation says that ARB. This remark is not easy to understand, or it's cryptic. My interpretation of this remark is that we cannot a relational statement ARB analyze into its components A, B, and R. We cannot assign a name to
the relation in our logical or in a logical adequate notation, we cannot assign a name to the relation to the relation R. So I read this remark as a statement of how should logical analysis advance. So we have to eliminate time for signs for relations, or then, and in order that there remain only signs for simple for simple objects. Now, Wittgenstein doesn't say whether what kind of relation R the relation R is. Is it an external or an internal relation? But this argument works for both. The argument works for internal or and for external and internal relations. Let us look to the both cases. So why cannot internal relation be simple objects? The argument is following. This is something that is not to be found in the tractatus. That is my reconstruction. If an external relation would relate objects into a state's affair, so, and if the relations were a simple name, then it would be an object in this state affair, in a state of affairs, then we would need another relation S that would relate the original relation R with its, its terms. And again, if the relation S would be a simple object, if it stand for a simple object, then we would need another relation to relate the relation S with all its terms, and that's infinite regress. It's the so-called Bradley's regress, which Bradley formulated at the end of the 19th century. Now, why internal relations cannot be constituents or cannot be simple objects or cannot be constituents? This follows from the argument given by Moore. If an internal relation were a constituent of a fact or a state of affair, then there would have to be a name of this relation, but this is impossible by Moore's argument. The conclusion is that tractarian objects are not relations, or that tractarian objects are particulars. Tractarian objects cannot relate another objects into in a simple state of affair. If tractarian objects are not relations, they are, according to Wittgenstein's definition, unreal. Relations are unreal. That's the conclusion. That's the same conclusion which we found in Bradley. But unreal means, in Wittgenstein, relations are not a part of the substance of the world. So that was the first argument. Then we have seen that Wittgenstein employed Moore's argument against intelligibility, against the intelligibility of internal relations, in different way from Moore himself or from Russell, and from different way from Bradley. Now, to the second argument I am going to present now. We saw that the doctrine of external relation, as endorsed in Russell and Moore, leads to radical pluralism or radical atomism. Now we combine this fact with the identity theory of true, which reads that true propositions are identical with facts they express. So, if there are no internal relations between facts, there are no internal relations between true propositions, which yields this to that logical entanglement is an external relation. Moore and Russell were accused of this almost nonsensical conclusion. If logical relations were external, then logic would be something accidental. Logic wouldn't be would not be necessary. That's absurd conclusion. In this argument, I want to argue that this conclusion is not necessary. This conclusion doesn't follow from the doctrine of external relation and from the identity theory of true. The doctrine of external relation says that our relations between propositions which are directly standing for facts are external. But propositions which are directly standing for facts are only elementary propositions. The identity theory of truth says that there is an one-to-one correspondence between proposition and fact, but only in the case of elementary propositions. Wittgenstein endorsed this view too. One elementary proposition cannot be deduced from another. So, Wittgenstein endorsed the doctrine of external relations in a slightly different way. He claimed that all error can be taken as for this claim that all relations between states of affairs are external. States of affairs are once more simple facts. There is a big difference between the doctrine of external relation as endorsed in Russell and Moore and in Wittgenstein on the other side. And the difference lies in the way how it is with internal relations between simple objects. For Russell and Moore, all relations between simple objects are external. There is all objects, or every object is independent of every other object. They can be combined in all ways. But that's not true in Wittgenstein. Now I'm going to argue that for Wittgenstein there are external as well as internal relations between simple objects. The argument goes as follows. For Wittgenstein, certain combinations of names are nonsensical. That's a bit uncontroversial. There are sentences which are nonsensical. From this claim follows that certain concatenations of objects in a state of affairs are impossible. If all concatenations of objects were possible, then there would be no nonsensical combinations of names. Now, for an object or an identity object is made up by its possible, the object's possibilities of combination with other objects. That's something that Wittgenstein calls a form of dependence or a form of independence. So there are objects that can be combined
with all other objects, but they are combinations of objects which are impossible. And that, the way how an object can be combined makes up its identity. Now, the relations of dependence is an internal relation between objects, between simple objects. Because it is unthinkable that objects were not related by this relation. If we try to think that objects are not related or are not related according to their forms of dependence, then we would speak nonsense. So, conclusion from this argument is that there are universals among tractarian objects. So tractarian, at least some tractarian objects are both particulars and universals. Now to the third argument. In the third argument, I'm going to explain how it is with the relations of logical entailment, or how it is with logical relations. The doctrine of external relations is endorsed either in Russell and Moore or in Wittgenstein, does not prevent that the whole to part relations were internal. Because that's almost a trivial relation, or whole is what it is because it has its parts, otherwise it wouldn't be a whole. This relation has to be internal because of the whole project of logical analysis. Logical analysis is in Moore, a decomposition of whole into its parts, and in the process of logical analysis, nothing gets lost because parts are nothing more than the whole. Sum of parts is nothing more than the whole. In Wittgenstein's Franz logical analysis, as I argued before, as an elimination of expressions. Of the expression for whole in favor of expressions for its parts. We have to realize that every expression for a whole is in fact a relation. They relate to parts or the parts of the whole. Now, the main idea how to save logic being internal is that logic is concerned with form of molecular propositions, or with forms, or logic is concerned with molecular propositions, in fact, with their forms. And now I'm going to give an argument in favor of. So, why logic deals with forms of molecular propositions? That's something that was what Russell expressed in the introduction. To the Tractatus, the whole business of logical inference is concerned with propositions which are not atomic. So there are no relations between, no logical relation between two atomic propositions. Wittgenstein says a proposition about a complex stands in an internal relation to a proposition about a constituent of the complex. That's only, in other words, claim that the whole to part relations is internal. Now, there is another formulation how logical analysis goes or proceeds. Every statement about complexes can be resolved into a statement about their constituents, and into the propositions can describe the complexes completely. Logic deals with propositions that describe complexes. That are propositions that describe how
parts of a complex are put together is describes the form of this complex. So logic is concerned with forms. Now, the next step, the form which fall under the general propositional form. They are in many steps between this statement and this one. It's the half of the Tractatus. The general propositional form, or the general form of proposition, is how logical operations are applied to elementary propositions. And in the end, Wittgenstein reduces all logical operation to only one operation, to the Shepherd-Strong. Now we can realize that there are molecular propositions sharing the same form, or there could be molecular propositions or two molecular propositions which include their parts. Form of one proposition is part of the form of another proposition, and that's the way how we can save logical entailment. I have here an example of Wittgenstein's own example how this works. Wittgenstein claims that from his new notation, it should be clear that from this proposition P stroke P stroke Q stroke Q that flows from P stroke Q stroke P stroke Q. That's Wittgenstein's late example from the beginning of the 30s, that he presented in the conversation with Desmond Lee. In our notation, it sounds that from a P and Q follows P or Q. I don't see now. It's to be critical to Wittgenstein. I don't see how it's easy. How we can see in this first statement, in this form, the logical entailment. The claim that logical entailment can be seen in a logical and adequate notation is simply false. We can see logical entailment in a propositional calculus or in a propositional logic, but even in the first order predicate calculus, predicate logic is undecidable. So there is no easy way, there is no way how to decide whether whether it is a true theorem of the calculus or not. But that's something which has been proven after the publication of Tractatus. It's something which Wittgenstein didn't know when he writes the Tractatus. So the conclusion of this argument is that logical entailment is based on the whole-to-part relation between forms of molecular propositions. Now I'm going to a conclusion, a recapitulation, which I said. We can consider the doctrine of external relations on three levels. I start here. The doctrine became the thing of external relations between objects, that there are only external relations between objects, has been endorsed by Russell and Moore. That there are only external relations between elementary propositions, has been endorsed in Russell, Moore, and Wittgenstein. We can consider the doctrine of external relation between molecular propositions. That logic is accidental. That's something that's nonsense for me. Maybe for Quinean view,
Ukrainian point of view, it's not nonsense, but I think it's pretty clear. As to the unreality of relation, for whole relation or relation, for Bradley, all relations are only partially true. For Wittgenstein, all signs for relations, that is sign, that means signs for complexes, have to be eliminated in a logically adequate language. And no relational statement can be expressed by means of proposition. Relational statements can be shown. So, Wittgenstein's true doctrine of external relation is that all relations that can be expressed in propositions are indeed external. So, thank you for your attention.